Thank you, Brother Paul. First of all, I'd like to say it's my privilege to be here with you tonight. It's a real joy, and I count it a real honor to be here with you tonight. I thank the Lord for you, and I thank the Lord for the fellowship He has brought us together into. As your pastor mentioned, the love that is shed abroad in our heart, the Lord Jesus Christ, love to Him and love to everyone that is born of Him. And I'm thankful to be here with you tonight. And in a moment, I'll be showing the pictures, as you know. And I love to preach the gospel whenever I have the opportunity. And I'll try to be real brief. I have a little note right here. It says, I have a little note right here. It tells me. But I... But I was at a church, and I won't mention where, and I just tell you what he said. He asked me whether or not I knew of any opportunities for a missionary pilot. And I thought, what in the world is a missionary pilot? And I said, can you preach? I said, do you preach? And he said, well, I can. I said, well, are you called to preach? He said, no. I said, well, if you were called to preach and you happened to fly, that might come in handy. But we are called to go forth and preach the gospel. And I love to stand and proclaim the grace of our God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the things that many people have said over the years is, you never talk enough about the work. So I'm thankful for this opportunity to be able to show you some pictures. And they say a picture paints 1,000 words. So after this brief message, I'll show you the pictures. Open your Bibles with me, if you will, tonight to Psalm 130. The true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is one who continually comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, who continually comes. We never, never reach a time when we do not need His mercy, need His grace. And we continually come to Him for mercy. I needed mercy yesterday. I need mercy today. And I'll need mercy tomorrow. The Apostle Peter said, to whom coming? To whom coming? And I want us to notice here, this cry that we have here in Psalm 130 is the cry of a believer. Is the cry of a believer. It says in verse 1, out of the depths have I cried unto thee. Out of the depths. A person is never going to cry unto the Lord Jesus Christ for mercy until by the Spirit of God he's brought to this point of being deep in misery. Misery. Till he comes to the realization that he cannot save himself. God's not going to share his glory. And until, if a man has just but a fingernail of ability, supposed ability, he will use that to crawl, to climb himself, try to climb himself into glory. But by the Holy Spirit, when the Lord sends his Spirit and teaches a man what condition he is by nature, who he is by nature, dead in trespasses and sin, when the law comes by the power of the Holy Spirit and teaches us that we are sin and that we are enmity in our minds by our wicked works, then that's the right use of the law, to shut us up to the mercy of God in Christ Jesus, to turn to Him and cry, God, have mercy on me. You notice it's out of the depths. How many people think that they're going to turn over a new leaf? I'm going to straighten up, fly right. I'm going to straighten up, and I'm going to start going to church, and I'm going to do some things, and then I'm going to come to Christ. No. The songwriter had it right. Let not conscience make you linger, nor fondness fitly dream. You don't have any. But all the fitness he does require is to fill your need of him. Out of the depths. While you're in the depths. While you're in the depths of misery. You know, that's when... Can you see Jonah? Can you see Jonah in the fish's belly? Oh, he was in a deep place, wasn't he? He was in darkness, in a deep place. And he cried out, salvation's of the Lord. And notice that the cry is to, out of the depths have I cried unto thee. Have I cried unto thee. Salvation is in a person. Salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And a person is never going to cry to him who is the Savior unless he hears of him. You know, blind Bartimaeus was in a dark place. He was in a deep hole. But he heard that the Lord Jesus Christ was coming by. He had heard. We know that he had heard because he called on him by his name. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He called upon him. Have I called upon thee, O Lord, Jehovah, God, our Creator, God, our Savior. Salvation is in a person. It's not in a creed. Salvation is not in a church or organization. But it's in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ, in him. And notice how the person that comes to him must believe that he is, and he's the reward of him that diligently seeks him. You come to him as one who can say. One who can say, Lord, Lord. It's no sense crying to anybody that wants to save. And maybe somebody might prevent him. But this is not the one to whom the believer calls. We call to the one who is sovereign. The one who, none can stay his hand and say, what doest thou? To thee, O Lord. Oh, I feel my heart goes out to the people who cry to the saints and to Mary and to the idols. They're crying to a God who cannot say, wasting their time because he can't hear, he can't save, he can't deliver them. But the true believer calls unto the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who can save, mighty to save. His arm is not short. My arm is not short that I can't redeem. He's Lord God Almighty. And notice how the psalmist says, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord, Lord, hear my voice. Oh, we know that God's not deaf. He hears. But we're talking to the one who can say, Lord, hear my voice. Hear my cry. Be attentive to the voice of my supplication. Hear my cry. And this is all we want when we come to God. We know that if we're heard, we're heard by the Lord Jesus Christ. We're heard. The Lord Jesus Christ said, no man can come to the Father but by me. That is, when we pray, we say, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not something we just say to let people know the prayer's over. We start the prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus. We can't come to God and be accepted except through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear my voice. And that's what's important. Does he hear me? Does he hear me with an attentive when it comes through the door? Well, I'll give you a better. Well, I'll talk about something happened today. We were downstairs working on the computer, and Mindy was calling us to eat. And she called, and she called, and she called. But you know what? What was important is, did we hear? When it comes through the door sometimes, from the time she hits the door, she starts talking. Da, 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 da. She gets through the room, and I'm doing something else. And then she'll come back and act like I'm supposed to answer yes or no. I'm in trouble. Or she'll do something. I told you so. But what's important is, do you hear? Does he hear? And he does hear our voice. And it's the supplication. We come to the Lord as needy sinners. Supplication. It's not demands. It's not conditions. You do this and I'll do that. We come to Him with supplication. So, you see here this, the voice of the believer coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. He has a need, a deep desire, a need. And a person that comes to God is going to need a Savior. If he comes, he's going to need. And until, by the Holy Spirit, he's shown his need, he won't come. The well don't need a physician. And those who think that they have a righteousness, they won't come to the Lord Jesus Christ. They won't come. But when the Spirit of God teaches, that's a good thing. Someone said the sinner is a holy thing. The Holy Spirit has made him one. Need has revealed his need. Notice it says here in verse 3, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? No one. There shall no flesh be justified in his sight by the doings of the law. That is, in our own doings, our own ability. No one can stand before God. God demands perfection. Who shall ascend into the holy hill? Only the one, Lord Jesus Christ. And for those that he represented. But what the psalmist and what every believer recognizes and comes to God is, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. And we will never leave this position of needing a Savior. As long as we're in this world, we need a Savior. If you ever get to the point where you don't need a Savior, does that mean you're no longer a sinner? Well, that's not happening. If you should mark iniquities, and he does mark iniquities. Be sure of that. The Lord does mark iniquities. Wherever sin is found, God must punish sin. And God will punish sin wherever it's found. It was found, the sin of his people was found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he spared not his beloved Son, but delivered him up for us all. He was made sin for us who knew no sin, and he was nailed to the tree. He cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because thou art holy. Thou art holy. He is of pure eyes than to behold iniquity. Who shall stand? Oh, but look here at verse 4. Look at here at verse 4. But in thee, but there's forgiveness in thee, with thee. There's forgiveness. Aren't you glad that God reveals himself in his word as a God who delights to show mercy? Who is a God like unto thee? Who is a God like unto thee that pardons iniquity, that delights to show mercy? Oh, but when he does so, he must do so in a way that he's just, that his law is honored, but he delights to do so. And we could never say that unless God had first said that of himself. But there is forgiveness with thee by the doing and dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that thou mayest be feared, that thou mayest be reverenced. You know, the law doesn't cause fear. The law, all law does is make you want to break it. Say, don't do that. Try it with your little kids. Don't do that. First thing they're going to do is do that. But the grace of God teaches a man to fear, to want to please the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that we do, but we want to. We have a desire to. No one fears the Lord except those who have experienced the pardon and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. the gratitude for the forgiveness of sins causes a person to serve and love. That thou mayest be feared. Now look here at verse 5. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in His word do I hope. Here the psalmist is talking about waiting, which is an expectation. An expectation. Not waiting in the sense that I won't sit here and wait. But I believe. I'm expecting. I have a confidence. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I believe. I'm waiting. Therefore, I'm waiting. I know He's coming. I know He'll hear me. I'm going to call. Just keep on coming. Keep on coming. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in His word do I hope. Now that's the foundation of our esperanza, our hope. That's the foundation of our confidence and assurance. God said so. The Lord said so. The Lord said that all those that come to God by Him, He will in no wise cast out. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Come to me. Come to me. Come. Oh, everyone that's thirsty, come. I won't cast you out. But come. Come. And that's a sure word. That's a sure word from God who cannot lie. From God who cannot change. My hope is based on the Word of God. What we have, the Word of God, and by the way, a lot of people have their trust in traditions or ideas. And I told this to the congregation there in Betty. I said, and everywhere in Yucatan, if you think something of God and you can't find it in the Word of God, that's an idol. Repent from it. Repent from it. That's an idol. Turn from it. Turn to the living God. Only put your trust in what God says. Roman Catholicism is full of tradition. They elevate the tradition of man I'd say even par, but maybe more. More than the Word of God. But the foundation of a believer is in the Word of God, who cannot lie. His Word is sure. My Word shall not. The heavens and earth shall pass away, but the Word of the Lord shall stand forever. It's easier for the heavens and earth to pass away than for one dot hota o tilde to pass away from the law. Well, my soul doth wait for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. Well, I came to the Lord. I wait for the Lord. Is that it? Oh, no. I continue to wait. You see, I wait for the Lord and I continue to wait. I believe in the Lord and I continue to believe. But I notice here in verse 6 that it's talking about a watchman. A watchman. A watchman, the idea is of a city that's surrounded by a wall, and they put watchmen on the towers because enemies come in the night. The Lord said, watch. Wait. Be in prayer. Because Satan is like a lion ready to devour. And we wait for the morning. When is that morning? The morning of the glorious return of the Lord. That is whether he takes us in death or when he comes to the second time to bring all his church to himself. But that's the glorious awakening. The morning, I wait. But the idea is more than they that watch for the morning. I was in the Navy. That was I tell you what, that midnight watch, that 4 to, sometimes it was like midnight to 6. Oh, it was so hard. You don't dare fall asleep on that watch. That's when they're going to attack. And that's when men sleep, that's when the enemies come in.
more than they that watch for the morning. Now look at verse 7. Let Israel hope in the Lord. Now, let all Israel. He's like, let's all. I believe, I wait for the Lord. Let us all wait for the Lord. Let's all hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there's mercy. There is mercy. You've experienced the mercy of the Lord. Keep hoping. There is mercy. There is mercy with Him. And look, I love this right here. There's mercy, and with Him is plenteous redemption. Plenteous redemption. There's nothing lacking to the redemption that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. But of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom. How much wisdom? The wisdom of God. Righteousness. How much righteousness? Dressed in His righteousness, I'm just as righteous as He is. Accepted in the Beloved. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification. Holy. Justification. There's plenteous redemption. Not just a little bit. Plenteous redemption. You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ, He's the Savior of sinners. He shall save His people from His sins. How many sins? All their sins. That's a blessed thought. If you had to pay for one sin, if I had to pay for one sin, we'd be separated from God for eternity. That is what sin is. Well, men think of sin as a little sin or big sin, but that's no such thing. All sin is committed against holy God, infinite holiness, and therefore it's an infinite transgression, and it requires an infinite payment. And that's why God is never satisfied with the death of the wicked. That is to say, His justice never cries, I have enough. I never have enough for that payment for that one sin. Let's just talk one sin, not to say the multitude of sins, of my sins. So God never cries, I have enough. But this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down. Why? Because God's satisfied. God's satisfied. He put away the sins of His people. His precious blood, sufficient value to put away the sins of 10 million wells, if it were God's purpose to do so. But He came to die for His people. He came to pay the debt for all their sins. That's a blessed assurance. That's a blessed hope. I'm glad He didn't start something He didn't know how to finish. I started many projects, and halfway through the project, I think, I can't finish it. I just don't have the ability to do so. I didn't know it was going to cost me that much. But you can't say that of God. He knew exactly what He was coming for, and He paid the sin debt. And He shall redeem Israel from all His iniquities, all of God's people. Not one of them will be lost. Well, keep waiting. Keep hoping. Keep trusting. Keep looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless His word.